Everybody's day gets to look and turn to page 264. 264. Let's get the first, second, and last verse.
Christ not risen. If Christ be not risen, then is are preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, meaning they're gone forever. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So I'm going to do a little exercise with this morning. We're going to get woke up here. And I'm going to say some things. And then I'm going to say, but. And when I say but, you say, he is risen. Let's try. Looks like this right here. I would be in hell today, but
he is risen.
Amen. So let's just do this just real quick before we get Preacher Jared up here. Let's just try. Let's just do this real quick this morning. Let's get woke up this morning. How about that? All right. I was born a sinner and love sin. And to this day, this flesh has an affinity for sin and sinful things and ways. And without the redeeming power of Christ, I'd still be lost in my sins, and I would be headed to hell, and I would not have any confidence that him or anyone else's death could have paid for my sins, but
he is risen.
Amen. Matter of fact, you know what? I'll say this, that if I could be in church my whole life and have come together and worshiped with fellow believers, to be able to give God glory and spend so much time and effort in coming to church and in being part of a church, devoting my time to the church, devoting my efforts, my skills, and everything that's in me to the church to help grow God's kingdom. And you know what? All that would be in vain if he was still in the ground. All that would mean nothing if I served a Lord that was still buried somewhere over there in the Middle East. But
he is risen.
He is alive, amen, this morning. Thank God. I would say this, that I would have no hope for what's going to come after this life. That as I went to the doctor every time I was sick, and some of you have gotten older than some of the rest of us, and you know that time is coming for you sooner than later. It could come to any one of us at any time. Pray for my, remind me later to mention this in my prayer request. My brother-in-law, his cousin up in Virginia, I know him since he's just a little boy, his name's Josiah, and he was in a terrible car wreck the other day, and they don't know if he's going to make it. And he's in really bad shape, but he's 20 years old, you know, just a couple years older than my nephew. I remember them two, Case and him, grew up together, they was really close. And just pray for them and that family. But you never know when that time could come. You never know when your life could be cut short. I've known a lot of people in my life that their lives were cut short, and they didn't know it. They didn't know the day that they were going to leave here. You don't know the day that you're going to leave here, but I know this. I can face death, and I can face it with my chin up because I have victory over death. I would not have that if I was to serve Allah, if I was serving some other God that gave me no guarantee of life because there was no guarantee of life in them. Can I say this, that Muhammad is dead this morning, amen? That Allah did not raise him up because Allah had no power to raise him up.
Right.
There is but one that has power over the body to raise them from the ground, amen. That is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and his son Jesus Christ, where he sent to die for you and I. And because he died for you and I, not only did he die and pay for our sins, but we can have confidence that the payment was good enough. And why? Because
he is
risen. Amen. Amen. So we serve a risen Savior this morning. We do not serve a dead Savior. We do not serve one who is just really up in the clouds. We do not serve a Savior that is not able to move and unable to do things. He is able to do anything and everything above anything that you and I could even imagine. Insomuch that he said he had power to lay upon the devil. Matter of fact, he meant that in a way that nobody could take it from him. But he had the power to lay down. He gave his life for you and I. And he brought it back again that you and I could have the hope that one day, that where he is, we will be also. Despite the fact that we're sinners and don't deserve anything, one of us sitting here this morning,
that has ever come close to even earning a one footstep towards heaven.
Right.
But praise be to God, He made the way.
Yes.
What a Savior we have. So, preach, Jerry, come on, preach to us. I try my best. Just get us.
You already said everything I was
going to say. Well, that way. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Amen.
They did that on a negative note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but we get to do it on a positive note.
Right.
But thank God, he's not just king of the Jews.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Thank God he came down to Burke County, right, North Carolina.
Amen.
At Shady Grove Baptist Church.
Right.
And saved a bunch of old country Gentiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank, don't worry, he came to Colony Springs too.
Yeah.
He came down to Hickory, where I was at.
Yeah, yeah.
He came down to Georgia Red School Road when I was a 12-year-old boy.
Right, amen.
So not only was he king of the Jews, but he was king of this Gentile.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
And they smote him. And watch this. And he said, "Hail, King of the Jews." There's that explanation point. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again, saith unto him, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in it." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man."
Amen.
There it is. I'd like to preach a little bit this morning on that thought. Behold the man.
Amen.
See it. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here on this Sunday morning. Lord, though we get up for work early, we do all these things, but God, we thank God we can come this early.
Yeah.
And to worship our risen Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. As Brother Stoney said, not only you died, not only was you buried, but God, you rose again.
Amen.
God, if it wasn't for all three, all would be in vain. God, I'm glad you rose for us.
Amen.
God, may you get glory today that you deserve. I pray, Lord, anyone here may be discouraged. I pray that you'll help them this morning. Lord, I pray for that lost sinner. God, I may have them trouble. I pray that you convict them so hard that God will get it settled today. Lord, I pray, God, for the saints this morning. I pray that you give them more strength to go another mile. I thank you for this church. I pray that you bless them abundantly. And God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Behold the man. Now, many of us know that that word behold, what that word behold means, it basically means put your glasses on the end of your nose.
Yeah.
Take your magnifying glass out.
Right, right.
And pay very, very close attention.
Yeah, yeah.
What's about to come out.
Yeah, yeah. It
means to investigate, to examine.
Right,
yeah.
You go through all out Scripture, that word behold is mentioned 1,275 times.
Right.
And everything that's said after is very significant.
Yeah.
But this one is the only one in the phrase that has an explanation point behind it.
Wow. Amen.
And everybody knows, bunch of y'all smarter people than me in here, but the explanation points behind it is pretty serious.
Yeah.
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 It's showing great emotion.
Right.
Yeah.
That I want to get your attention here.
Yeah. Amen.
Pilate said it like this: "Behold the man."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He was telling them. Pilate said he had no fault in him. He said that three times. He did not want to do this. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It's okay. He was scared because of the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of all, he was scared of Caesar, the king.
Right, right.
He was scared he was going to cause a riot among the people. If he didn't do this, he was going to lose everything.
Right, yeah.
He was going to lose his family, his riches, his position in society.
Right.
But even his wife,
yeah,
didn't want him to do
right,
it.
Right,
yeah. I believe his wife was a believer.
Yeah.
But behold, the man. You know why you're here today?
Yeah, amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we get to come in this tabernacle, this temple, this church, this sacred place? Behold the man.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
This has been running through my mind since Sunday night, Brother Stone. And I look back through everything. How in the world did I get 31 years?
Yeah.
Behold the man.
Yeah.
Right.
Think about all you've been through in your life.
Yes.
And you have no idea how you made it thus far. I can tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes, we celebrate his death and his burial. Praise God for the resurrection.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ. I think what he's saying, and this word behold in this phrase, don't worry about the other 1,274. Just focus on this. That's what he's saying. This is where our Lord Jesus plunged to his deepest distress to show his love for the sinner.
Yeah.
He plunged the woe of despair. He went through misery to show his mercy and to show his might and glorious power. And it is at this time and that joy and comfort should overwhelm us. We see our suffering Lord showing his divine compassion upon us.
Yeah.
Romans 5, 8 through 11. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Yeah.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy go through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
You know, by his wounds he healed ours.
Right. Amen.
Pilate was giving the Jews what they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was giving the Gentiles what they need.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. May we get a glimpse of him today. May all the distractions and the hesitations leave our minds. May we meditate and glorify the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for us, because his death, his burial, and his resurrection had made available for us to be with him for eternity.
Right. Yeah. Right. Amen.
Hey.
You know why the reason he died for you? He actually, not all of you, we want to be with him forever, most of them. He wants us to be with him forever.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, preacher. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You say you're not important. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
But there's someone.
Yeah.
There's someone that thinks you are.
Hey,
but
thank you.
Only through the Lord Jesus.
Right.
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 He loves his children. David said, God said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.
Right.
Do you realize how important this day is?
Yeah.
This is where the gospel was tied together, the great news of our Lord.
Yeah.
And it's by this gospel.
Yeah.
Not one of the gospels.
Right.
Right.
Some people think, some preachers think there are a couple gospels. No, no, no. They said this gospel.
Yeah. Right. Right.
One Lord.
Yeah.
One mediator.
Yeah.
What Timothy said.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. It's this gospel that made you important to him. Now, the only reason that I can love you, and you love me, is by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Without the Holy Ghost, you can say you love this, love that, love her, love him. You cannot love like you're supposed to without the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
And if you didn't, you don't know me, you might not think I'm important, and that's exactly right. And you think I don't know you, you think I don't think you're important, you're probably right. But I'm sure if you're a Christian and a child of God, we start talking to each other, by the time we end that conversation, we're going to love one another.
Yeah, sure. Amen.
That's the way the Holy Ghost works. Christ is the centrality in all of it. If you go to Colossians 3:11, the last phrase of that verse says, Christ is all and he is in all.
Yeah.
All because what? The resurrection of our Lord.
Right.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I hope by the time we leave here today, may this phrase engrave our mind and in our hearts. I have four truths I want to explain what type of man Jesus was. Now, does these four explain all who he is? No. You'll spend the rest of eternity explaining who he is to you and to me. The Bible gives you however many thousands of who Jesus is. But I want to give you four because that's all I say. Number one, he was a surrender.
Yeah.
You know why Jesus even came to this earth and lived a life of 33 years? It wasn't to live his own life.
Right.
It wasn't for him to come and enjoy life to have fun, though I believe he did doing his father's business.
Yeah.
But I believe since he was a little boy, he knew what his purpose was.
Right.
And what if you came to this earth and knew you was just going to live 33 years and you'd go die forever?
Right.
He did that for you.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Because he loved us. God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yeah.
For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yeah.
That is the reason he came. He lived a selfless life for his Father, but also for the sinner.
Right.
May we get a glimpse of that.
Yeah.
I believe, Brother Stone, we fall too much in tradition.
Yeah, sure.
We come, and by the way, there's some of y'all in here, and there's going to be some at my church this morning. This is the only time you darken them church doors is on a holiday. Because most of the time you get a buffet breakfast after. Most of the time. Or after a while you'll go get eggs and all this and that. And you'll go home and take a nap. Sounds like a good idea. But we get focused on all those things.
Yeah. Amen.
What is wrong? The reason we get to celebrate life every day. Now, I hope we don't wait till Easter just to worship and praise God for the resurrection.
Yeah. Right.
But may we do that every morning.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm guilty.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of not doing that.
Sure. Yeah.
By the way, there's times I complain having to get up early.
Yeah.
That's funny. Why I'm saying that. Brother Stoney called me. When was it? Friday? Last Friday?
Yeah.
I ain't going to ask you. Yeah, it's Friday. And he goes, hey, are you able to get up early? I was like, yeah, I reckon why. He's always making sure because I want you to come preach some of our service for him. Yeah, that's the problem. Well, I was telling my, everybody knows our preacher friend, Daniel Money.
Yeah.
And I was talking to him about it. He goes, my goodness. He goes, he has to preach at 10 o'clock at night. And now he's telling him to come preach at 7 o'clock in the morning. He goes, for these odd hours, he ought to pray a time, he ought to pay a time and a half. And then I said, Stoney goes, man, if this sermon's short, I'm going to go eat something. I was like, hey, I'll make it as short as you want to as long as I get paid for something. He was a surrendered man.
Yeah, yeah.
I just believe it.
Go ahead, Richard.
He was a surrendered man. He was surrendered in his birth. He was born in Bethlehem. You'll find out in Luke 2:7. Now, did you know he did not have to come and be born in a nasty manger?
Yeah.
Right, right.
Think about it. If God wanted to, he could have put him in the highest royalty on this earth.
Yeah.
The richest place. He could have been the richest child.
Right.
By the way, let me erase that. He was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He left his home in heaven.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
The highest of the heights.
Yeah.
Right.
The riches among riches. To come down. Why? For a piece of dust.
Yeah.
Amen. For you and me.
Yeah.
Right.
They say, scientists say a human body is worth 2 cents by the time it's ash. That's all it's worth. 2 cents. That's it. But yet still, thank God, the highest of the highest.
Right. Amen.
The richest among riches.
Yeah.
Came down for a speck of dust.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know about you. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
I wish I focused more on this when I was a kid.
Right.
Youngest, I want to encourage you. Have fun. That's fine. But don't forget what Jesus has done for you.
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I was a 12-year-old boy. I'm getting bad at myself. I was a 12-year-old boy. I was lost. I was born in a Christian home. I was born a preacher's kid. I've heard the gospel all my life.
Yeah.
Went to Sunday school.
Yeah.
Went to Catholic. Went to revivals. Went to different places. I was, you know, every time the doors were open, we were there. I sung in the choir. All these things. But with youth camp, up at Jefferson, Loud Mountain Youth Camp is what it's called. And I made a profession when I was 7 years old. And my mom and dad would read the Bible to us when we was little before we went to bed. And the subject of hell came up. And of course, you're sitting there, a 7-year-old kid, didn't want to go to bed because I don't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
But God didn't convict me.
Yeah.
So, I went to youth camp. I didn't want to go, Coach Tommy. It was basketball season. I missed 2 practices and a game. All right? That's what, like, I had to say so close.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom and Dad, go stay home. No, you're going to youth camp. Because we're going, and nobody's here to watch you for one, but you need to go.
Yeah.
Thank God for my parents that had a backbone to correct me.
Yeah.
Amen.
We got up there, there's about 30 of us. Had to take 2 vans. I get up there, and my older brother Dave was over underneath the old four-wheeler shed where the counselors parked their four-wheelers. Now, it was a light post, and this shed was built around that light post. And right beside that post, my brother was up there weeping his heart out. And of course, his brother, I was concerned about my brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
What in the world is going on?
Yeah.
Brother, are you all right? He goes, brother, there's someone in this youth group that is lost and needs Jesus. Yeah. On a Tuesday night, June 8th, 2005, underneath an arbor up on a mountainside. the Holy Ghost came over there.
Amen.
I don't remember what the preacher preached.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because before he even preached, they sung this song, My Savior's Love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, wonder how he could love me.
Right.
As soon as that phrase hit, boom, I felt so much conviction, I don't know what was going on. I was sitting there, no lie. If you're a saved, born again child of God, you know what conviction's like.
Yeah.
It's such a heavy load on you, you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I was sitting there like this. Couldn't wait for the service to be over to get to my mother to see what was going on.
Right.
And yes, I was a mother. Anyway. But we got done. I literally ran down the hill. I was literally telling, excuse me. People, please get out of my way. I got to my mother. I was like, Mom, something is bad wrong with me. She goes, you're under conviction, ain't you? I think I am. Seriously.
Yeah.
She goes, Sonny, born again. Like the Holy Ghost just revealed himself. What was going on? Behold the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what was going on.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what the Holy Ghost did? He opened up the curtain.
Yeah.
So I could see. Behold the man.
Amen.
He showed me the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the place I got saved at was exactly where my brother prayed. And I'm not lying. I can take it to the place.
Yeah.
I remember.
Amen.
That person he was praying for and didn't know it was his 12-year-old little brother.
Yeah. Amen.
Why? How? The man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behold the man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
He had to flee to Egypt for 3.5 years from King Herod. You'll find that in Matthew 2:13-14. Well, that was the most protected city from Herod. That was Herod's enemy. He could not get into that fortress. And then after that, after 3.5 years, he was finally able to go to Israel. You'll find that in the end of Matthew 2:19-21. But not only was he surrendered in his birth and in, but now we see in his betrayal, where he was betrayed, he still surrendered himself.
Right.
Now, in John 18:12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Now, you'll find, you study that word band out, that means 600 soldiers. We all, to be honest with you, I always thought there's a handful of men.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All the pictures show it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But 600 men.
Yeah.
Came to get Jesus. And guess what they did before they bound? You'll read it. They bowed. Matthew 26:50-55. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray for my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that this must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitude, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. Now, Jesus, though these were 600 soldiers, well, he said 12 legions. A legion, if you look that up in Roman history, legion is 5,200 soldiers. If you add that up, 12 legions, that's 64,400 soldiers. Jesus could have called to his Father and sent 64,400 angels to slay whoever Jesus wanted to slay.
Right, amen.
That's a lot of angels.
Yeah, amen.
Now who's not in control?
Right,
amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but anybody trying to bound me,
yeah,
trying to harm me or my family, you better believe I'm going to call him angel.
Yeah.
But the scriptures won't be fulfilled.
Right.
Why? Amen. For God so loved the world.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You realize what he gave up. Not only he's the richest of the rich, the highest and the highest, he's the authority over them.
Right.
He's the great general. He could have done that. And by the way, he could have
destroyed
you too.
Yeah.
Think of the worst sin you committed. And yet you're still alive.
Yeah.
Right.
You know why? Behold the man.
Right. Amen.
You may be a Christian here today and you're struggling. Lord, I don't know the purpose of my life. I don't know what to tell people. I tell you what to tell.
Yeah.
Behold the man.
Right. Amen.
All I'm trying to tell you this morning, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus reveals, behold the man.
Right.
I'm trying to tell you this morning, behold the man. May that grab your mind. I will pray that you cannot get away from that. If you want a thought that will encourage you this week, behold the man.
Yes.
That was been eating me up. Every aggravation, every complaint I had today,
Amen.
The Lord just reminded me, shut your mouth, behold the man.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But also, not only his birth betrayal, but in his beating.
Yeah.
He took a beating for you and for me.
Yeah.
Why?
Well,
Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yeah. Not only he came, but he came to seek.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Even though he already knew where he was at.
Yeah, sure.
What does that word seek mean? Well, once you're looking for something, grab hold of
it. Yeah.
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 That's what this context is seeking.
Yeah.
Women, when you go into the store and you're seeking a specific thing, what are you going to do? You're going to go around there, look on every clothes hanger, this and that. Now, Stoney's going to like this one. Men, when you're looking for a gun, what are you going to do? You go seek it out. But also, when you get there, Joyce Stoney, you go cock it back, look in the chamber, you go look at this, you go look through the scope, you go examine that thing all around. Jesus does that because if he bites a speck of dust on it, once you go, he's going to wipe it off. Behold
me. Amen.
I got rid of it. Now, let me skip over this. But Pilate, let me give you this. Not only he was a surrendered man, he was a scourged man.
Yeah.
19:1 of John, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The word scourged means to be whipped, to be afflicted, to suffer. This was a severe beating of 40 lashes with that called the cat of nine tails. I encourage you to go home and study that. That was metal, bones, glass.
Yeah.
It would rip you to shreds.
Right. Yeah.
But despite the beating, I just broke this microphone. But in spite of the beating of 40 lashes, they were mocking him, spitting on him, trashing him, saying, "Hail to the King of the Jews." What they did not realize that yes, he was the king.
Yeah. Right.
Charles Spurgeon said this, "Behold the emperor of woe, who had no equal or rival in his agonies. Gaze upon ye worms. For if there be not consolation in a crucified Christ, there is no joy in earth or heaven."
Right, yeah.
Let me remind you too why he says that. When we get to heaven, I hear this all the time. "I cannot wait to see so and so."
Yeah.
"Yes, my mother's up there."
Yeah.
"But I should be focusing on that."
Right.
"Yes, it would be good to be up there with our loved ones."
Right, right.
"But we ain't gonna be paying attention to each other."
Right.
"We're not gonna be up there carrying on a conversation."
Yeah.
"What are we gonna do? Be worshiping the man."
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
That's the joy of heaven.
Right.
If yes. Jesus wasn't there, it would not be heaven.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Pilate was struck.
Yeah.
He was spooked. We find that in John 19. Yeah. He was stuck.
Yeah.
We find that in verse 12. He was struggling, 13 through 14. He didn't know what to do, but to do.
Yeah.
He did not want to. But he said, "I find no fault in you." He said that three times.
Yeah.
But number three in the Greek numerology means wholeness, means completeness, means perfection. What does that mean? A perfect plan is being completed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because after the third time, he's going to the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To fulfill and to fulfill the law. I'm trying to hurry. I appreciate you.
Go ahead.
He took our beating, our punishment, our guilt, our humiliation, our place, our wrath. No one suffered like Jesus suffered.
Right, that's right.
There is no rival in comparison to it. Any other human would die right after the whipping. They would not get up again. They would suffer in agony and bleed out right there. And if not, they would drag you off and put you in a ditch and leave you for dead.
Yeah.
Jesus was one of the first ones to actually survive this whipping. To go endure more. The worst punishment. Hanging on the cross. Not only was he a surrendered man, a scourged man, he was a separated man.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He's on the cross. He said, "My God, my God,
yeah,
why hast thou forsaken me?" Throughout all Scripture, he always said, "My Father."
Yeah.
In companionship, in a relationship, he broke, he put sin on himself, and God can endure sin. So what happened? They had to be separated.
Yeah.
But when he got up,
yeah,
he said, "Father."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Not only him and his Father got back together, but he made a way for me and you,
amen,
for me,
yeah,
and you,
yeah,
to be in fellowship with him.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
And we get to talk to the Father too.
Amen.
The book of Psalms said, "He inclines my ear unto me." Meaning God gets up out of his seat.
Yeah.
Comes over to the edge of the balcony of heaven. I'm paraphrasing. And leans over like this.
Yeah, yeah.
So believer, you might think there is a wall of brass in your prayer. I promise you this though. Get that prayer. Because he wants to hear.
Yeah. Amen.
The hope of man.
Amen.
But only he was separated as a person. You'll find six different times in Isaiah 45. He says, Isaiah says it this way, there is none else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Amen.
There is none else.
That's right.
You go throughout the people that suffered, David in the battlefield of Goliath, what happened? Behold the man.
Yeah.
Because there is none else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You go to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. What happened? Behold the man.
Right.
You go on the Sea of Galilee in the storm in Mark 4.
Yeah.
The storm stopped.
Yeah.
What happened? Behold the man.
Right.
Yeah.
There is none else.
Amen.
I could go on and on and on. I pray this morning, throughout the week, everything you do, everything that comes in your mind, behold the man.
Yes.
Behold the man. Not only was he separated in place and person, of course his power.
Yes.
Behold the man. But lastly, let me jump to this and I'll be done. He was a successful man.
Yeah.
John 19:30. What's that fast? It is what? It is finished.
Right.
Hebrews. What? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What did he provide in his success? Well, what does he give you and me? Just let me give you three things. He gives a whole lot more. And by the way, yes, we celebrate the cross and the burial. But let's not forget what happens after the resurrection. All the blessings, all the benefits God gave us as his children.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He gave us peace. He gave us companionship.
Yeah.
Be with him. He provided consolation.
Right.
Peace in your darkness.
Yeah.
Paul says twice, more than twice, but I'll give you two of them. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace.
Amen.
Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of perdition between us.
That's right.
We could not get to him.
Right.
Yeah.
But he got to us.
Amen.
You know what? When I got saved, I wasn't even looking for him.
Right.
What happened? He found me. Behold me. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Amen.
It provided a choice. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling.
Yeah.
There is no other way. There is no other choice. He is our only answer for the life of eternity. Christ is the key.
Amen.
To unlock your damnation. The key to the door of salvation for me and you. He is the center of what is going on all around. Preacher, I need healing. Behold the man.
Yeah.
Preacher, I need help. Behold the man. Preacher, I'm lonely. Behold the man.
Yeah.
I have no hope. Behold the man. I'm stuck. Behold the man. I'm lost. Definitely. Behold the man.
Right. Yeah.
Great preacher off the pink shed is. We cannot make too much of the death of Christ, but we can make too little of his resurrection.
Yeah.
Our hearts and minds cannot meditate too frequently upon the cross, but in pondering the suffering of the Savior, let us not forget the glories which follow. Calvary does not exhaust the gospel message. If he would have died and stayed in the tomb, all of our hope would have died with him.
Yeah.
But when he resurrected, our hope became a reality.
Yeah.
Amen.
In closing, I say this. Robert Lowry, a preacher in 1826 to 1899, was an American preacher who became popular writer of gospel music in the mid-late 19th century. Best known for hymns include "Shall We Gather at the River," "Christ Arose," "How Can I Keep from Singing," and "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." He also helped Annie S. Hawk's hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." But he also, along with helping with 500 other hymns. The year of 1874 saw the conception of Christ Arose. And in that rather simplistic way, it was spring near Easter Sunday, and Lowry was reading the account of Jesus' death and resurrection. He had read it 100 times before, yet something about this time opened his eyes to the significance of the event. He wrote the song in 1874, "Christ Arose." "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark omen, and he lives forever with his saints to reign."
Yeah.
He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose.
Amen.
Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord.
Amen.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. What was he saying? Behold me.
Yeah, amen.
Mark Lowry said this, "It is easy to believe that we must work tirelessly to bring God glory. That is up to our own efforts. After all, he is a very big God, and we are very small. So why would we have to break our backs to please him?" That's a question, by the way. But Robert Lowry's hymn shows us that that is not the case.
Yeah.
All we have to give God is our devotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he will do the rest. Real quickly, turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Real quick, I'm going to read you these two verses. Give you some application to take home this week. Kind of. Verse 57. "But thanks be to God."
Yeah. Amen.
"Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain." What can we do this week? Give praise for the victory.
Amen.
Stay persistent in activity, but remember the promise of liberty.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm going.
Amen.
Behold the moon.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen.
How about that? That word? If you don't agree with it, just digest it, okay? But I'm going to say this, you know, we come and we worship on Resurrection Sunday, we call Easter, whatever. You know, there's a lot of talk back and forth about, you know, they say, well, you know, that's, they're taking some kind of ancient tradition, they worship Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, and they, you know. Hey, listen, that's a bunch of hullabaloo. You think God messed up because he sent his son to die during the same time that some other people worship somebody? No. God knew what he's doing.
That's right.
And we ain't going to let them hijack.
That's right.
Something that we celebrate. Hey, listen, and I'm going to say this. There is good historical evidence that the entire exchanging baskets with one another did not come from a pagan holiday, but it's rooted in Christianity. There's good evidence that they literally have just made up the whole thing about the Easter egg hunt, even having anything to do with Ishtar. They say, oh, it's the egg that represents fertility and all this, that, and other. There's more evidence that literally just poor people just had eggs. They had eggs, they had chickens, they had eggs. They want to do something with their youngins. And so they go out and they hide some eggs. Okay? And I'm not saying all this for nothing. Just stay with me. What I'm saying is that it's good for you to have some things in place in your family, to have some traditions. There ain't nothing wrong with tradition. There ain't nothing wrong with having some memorials. But when your kids ask about them, we just learned about this Wednesday night, y'all remember that? When your kids ask about these things, you tell them, this is why we do this. This is why we do this. You know, like I said, I know there's a lot of people, they come to church just a few times a year, Easter, Christmas, play, stuff like that. Hey, listen, that's all right. Keep it coming. That's what these traditions is there for. To have a time and a place whenever people that normally wouldn't come will come. And praise God, one day Christ might get a hold of your heart and invade your life and save your soul. Amen. You become part of the family of God. Amen. And at that time, you ain't going to want to die. That's why I'm like Curtis Presnell says all the time. I got one of those funny kind of salvations. When God saved me, didn't anybody have to drag me to church no more. I want to leave the house of God. Why? Because the Spirit was in me and it was drawing me to that place.
Yeah.
I didn't want to try to run from it no more. Sure, it's so flesh, it gets tired and worn down. But praise God, when we save my soul,
yeah.
I want to be around God's people.
Yeah.
I want to be around where God can be found.
Right.
I didn't want to be far from it.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear the preaching of God's Word. I wanted to grow. I wanted to have conviction.
Yeah.
I remember sitting on the pew as a lost man. I remember I was one of them ones that only went on Easter. I was one of them ones that only went to the Christmas play. I didn't want to get under conviction. I was thinking, just hurry up. I'm just here to go eat with such and such after I leave. But I will say this, that one day God got a hold of my heart. I went for one of them services.
Hallelujah.
God got a hold of my heart.
Glory to God.
He showed me I was a sinner and he saved my soul. And he put something in me that I ain't got ever since then.
Yeah.
So I will say this, there's nothing wrong with coming together, having some tradition. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I've known a lot of people, I've asked a lot of older folks that's got kids that's done well, they've got adult kids that's done well. I'm careful not to ask parenting advice of people that has kids my age, no matter how well their kids behave. Because I have seen so many kids that have behaved so well, they can quote so much scripture and have lived so much, and they grow up and they just go all to hell.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've seen them raised in church and everything else. And I said, well, what's the difference? And I've asked a lot of people. And the same consistency I see in people who have adult children who are serving God, they said, we just focused on showing them the relationship that we have with Christ.
Yeah.
You say, well, that's what I do. What I do, if I'm not careful, is I like to show them the rules and the regulations. If there was just rules and regulations between me and my wife, it wouldn't be a very fun marriage.
Right.
It's not just, well, I'm married, I can't have frickin' girlfriends and go out with my, hang out with my girlfriends and be talking to women, this, that, and other. It's not like, it's like, I have a relationship with a beautiful, lovely woman.
Right.
And I don't want to give her any reason without a worry, so I don't do that.
Right, right.
That's a relationship, that's not a rule.
Right.
It's a relationship. It's the same way with Jesus Christ. It's not as if I do this thing and that thing and X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden God's just going to hate me and not want to do with me.
Right.
It's the fact that He loved me even though I am that miserable. And that He still takes care of me and blesses me.
Yeah.
And so that any little bit of thing that I could what I want my kids to see. And I hope that's what you want your children to see. That we're not just coming to church on Easter Sunday morning because it's a rule, it's a tradition that has to be followed. We're doing it because there's a God that loves us.
Amen.
And died for us. We're doing it because, not just for the tradition of tradition's sake in itself, but the tradition of understanding and knowing that God in His sovereignty owed us nothing and gave us everything. In His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads real quick this morning. I just want to give y'all an answer this morning. Let's bow our heads, every eyes closed, every head bowed. This is one of only two things I'm going to ask you to do this morning. I'm going to ask you to do something else a little bit. Some of y'all ain't going to like it. But don't focus on that for now. I wonder if, first of all, let me ask you this, first of all, some of you moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I wonder if you would be willing to come to this altar and say, Lord, help me to keep those landmarks, those traditions alive in my family, in my home, that my children would always see. The reason that I do this is not because I am compelled or have to, but it's because I have the relationship that I have that I love my Lord and Savior. My risen Savior. What a good morning to come to this altar and just pray for your family, for your children. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day morning. Amen. Here this morning. You don't know the Lord. You've been acquainted, you know who He is, or you wouldn't be here this morning. I know that, you know that, but do you know Him? Do you have that relationship? Is He working in your life? I'm going to say that you can this morning if you'd ask God to save you. He's never far from any one of us. If you call on His name, He'll save you today and make you living. I'm going to ask you as I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart and you come to this altar, come to this altar. Saved, you don't exactly understand how that goes. It's real simple. All you need is but to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, resurrection on your behalf. Just ask Him, say, Lord, save me. He's dealt with your heart and grew you. That's all you need. All you need is to know that you're a sinner. Feel the urge and you see the need that you have to have God in your life, all you've got to do is come forward and say, Lord, help me and save me. I can't even tell you the words I said when I got saved. I can't tell you how it all went and who was all there. I can't tell you the date. I can't tell you the time. None of that. But I can tell you this. There's some things changed out. Pray this morning. Others are here praying with me. Why don't you come? Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard this morning, God. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the man Christ Jesus, Lord, that we could behold, that we could examine and look upon Him, that we could, Lord, be able to feel Him and touch Him, God, and feel His presence. Lord, I know, God, that, Lord, He sought me before I ever sought Him. Lord, He searched me out diligently. God, that I might be found of Him. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that and loving me that way, Lord. You first loved me. Lord, I owe it all to you. Help me, Lord, to be mindful in life. Lord, always to maintain that relationship. God, that I would not be so bound by all the different things, Lord, that I try to bind myself with, but Lord, that I would just live in liberty and stand in grace, God, and that my life would glorify you, not because I am bound to the law, but because I am bound to your grace. I pray, God, that you help every need of every heart that's here this morning, God, and Lord, if there's any flaws, I pray that you have mercy on them and save them, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word and for the truth, Lord, that we can find in it, the truth that it brings to our life, the conviction it brings to our hearts. I pray that you'd take that, Lord, that you'd open our hardened hearts, and that you'd seal your word into it even yet this morning, and allow us to take it home with us, to digest it, and allow it to benefit us, God, that we might grow together in you and in your kingdom. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We appreciate all of you coming. to you, to follow you, to trust you, Lord. Lord, we give glory to commit ourselves to serving you, Father. I thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. I thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. Not this once, but every day, God. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be able to come together and pray together, Lord, and to love and to help lift up one another, Lord. I pray for every one that's sick, that's afflicted, help reach your family, Lord. I pray that you help us be with Brother Andy, Lord. Miss Christine, whatever one of them, Lord. I pray you continue to help Brother Charles, Miss Jerry. Lord, help Brother Robert, Lord. I pray, God, that you continue to grow. Lord, if this evil Lord took this come to you, Lord, in their bodies physically, I pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the ones that might be lost, Lord, and the kids and the family, Lord, that's not in church, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd have mercy. And draw me in, Father, and work mighty wonders in their lives, Lord, that we might glorify you. I thank you, Lord, for loving us and allowing us to be in your house, God. I thank you for having mercy on us, Lord, this morning, even yet. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being alive today, God. And, Lord, just let us feel your presence. And, Lord, how wonderful it is to know you and to be known by you. And we give honor and praise and glory to your name today. And we tell you that's the Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher Curtis was here yesterday. He was telling me, he came over, he said, brother, he said that
He said, you know, he said, these people, he said, they just, he said, that's such a blessing to see them putting all this together. I said, I know, it really is, and I am so grateful, so grateful. And I just want to ask one more thing. Being it is Easter Sunday morning, and all of y'all look so wonderful and beautiful and so well-dressed, I want every one of us to meet immediately outside. I'm going to get a picture. And then you can go. I know y'all will congregate stuff, so after we dismiss in prayer, everybody, all at once, let's scurry out there. There'll be others that want to get gone. They got previous engagements. More important things in church, but you know. We're Baptists. We've got to eat and all that. So let's scurry out there. Even though there's everybody, let's go out there. And I want somebody, one of you ladies, because I know it'll be one of y'all, let me borrow your phone. Whoever's got the latest version of iPhone that's got, you know, the fancy settings where you can turn and you can do the filters and all that. And I want you to let me borrow your phone. And it ain't going to be me or my wife. We got old junk. So I need somebody's phone that's, you know, modern. That's, that didn't come up on the ark. We're over right here. And I'm going to use it to take a picture. I'm going to take one. I'm going to pass it through to Jared. And he's going to take one with me in the picture. Because you're going to be the first one. Then I'm going to get it down and you're going to take one with me in that picture. What we'll do is we'll stand up front here, okay? And I think the sun's over here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. The sun's over here, so we're probably going to be faced that way with the sun right in your eyes, so you got to swim. No? Well, how do I do it? Tell me, photographer, come on. You want the sun behind me? Well, y'all stand here with your backs this way. I want you to be standing about like this, okay? And we're going to get somebody to stand up here in the road. All right, no, not the road. We'll get up there close to the road. Take a picture so I can get. I might have to shift you around, but we're going to get this done. And what I want you to do is I want you, me and the tallest of you, to get in the back, and then the next row a little bit shorter, and a little bit shorter, and a little bit shorter, all the way to the kids. All right? Now, like I said, I ain't going to make y'all do this every Easter, I think. But. Please, just do that. We might as well get a picture. All right, is that all right with everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you want to stay in fellowship, you need to come back in and do that. That's fine. But initially, let's just get on out there and let's get that done. How about that? Just remember, somebody's got to get me a phone. All right? Hold on a second. We'll just be some prayer. We'll be good. All right? But I appreciate y'all. Being willing. Amen. I don't know if y'all will. We get out there, y'all trying to get going before we get to pray. Go ahead, Richard.
Turn down. right before.
Amen.
And I'm very, very proud of him. And of course, the practices last Sunday, they did amazing, and now my voice is gone. So don't listen to me saying, listen to the Lord.
I appreciate it. You young folks have been building veterans,
never changes for you. Hope you never ashamed.
Yes.
Hope you never grow too old, too cool, and get up and stand for Jesus. Say praise God. All right. Has anybody got anything on their heart before dismissed?
He is the man.